Welcome back. Welcome back, my great communicators. How you guys doing? I hope you are well. Slightly different this week because I have been doing lunchtime shows on Wednesdays in which I do like a half an hour set covering a distinct or different communication skill. And somebody who really enjoyed them actually suggested, why am I not posting this on my podcast so that people who aren't seeing it on social media at least are able to take it in? Which, of course, is an idea I should have thought of myself. So slightly different week this week, which is why there's no music. What I think I will do with these ones is really just post them. The audio quality might be slightly different to what you normally get with my shows. Apologies, but I think it's still bearable. And so I'm just going to post it. This session is actually on how to listen using the masterclass, really, that was displayed by Oprah Winfrey during her interview with Harry and Meghan, which I am sure you have seen or at the very least heard of or heard about. And I thought actually it merited analysis for the learning points that it gives to all of us on how to listen effectively. So that's what this particular episode is about. I hope you enjoy it. Just before I press play on that one, got to give a shout out for a review that was done that I missed the last episode. So I want to give the shout out on this one. It is by Supercharge, which is great, and says, fabulous host, always analyzes and dissects famous speeches intelligently and diligently. A must listen for anyone interested in furthering their communication skills. Yeah, that's a reference to obviously the analysis I do of speeches, which I'll be returning to do those as well fairly soon as well. But thank you very much, Supercharge. I appreciate that review. Remember, if you give me a review, I will give you a shout out in the next episode, or at least the episode that I see it. Because I really appreciate you guys telling me what you like and indeed sometimes what you don't like, which is cool. So without further ado, here is the lunchtime session that I did on the art of listening with Oprah Winfrey.
Okay. Hey, guys, how are you guys doing? Back for another lunchtime live session on Wednesday afternoons. I hope you guys can hear me well. It's kind of raining a bit around here, so you may have a bit of interference. I'm not entirely sure. But I'm on now. If you can hear me, just pop a little message in the chat saying, yes, caller. I haven't had any audio problems at all, actually, so I'm going to assume that everyone can hear me and just kind of move forward and get on. And of course, today, as the caption shows, I'm going to be discussing the Oprah, Harry and Meghan interview. But I'm not going to be going into the detail of it, right, in terms of, you know, who's right, who's wrong. Plenty of other channels are going to do that. This is a pure communication skills session. So I do have a lot of thoughts about it. But I'm not going to get into it in that way. Well, let me ask actually, first of all, is did you guys watch it, right? I'm pretty much half the globe seems to have watched the interview. So I'm going to assume that you either have watched the interview with Oprah, Harry and Meghan, or if you haven't watched the full interview, you've seen snippets. Or if you haven't yet seen snippets, you're going to be hearing about it from everybody. It was just kind of one of those moments that where the world kind of stands still for a moment. So what I wanted to look at is the skill that Oprah brought to bear in this interview, the skill that Oprah brought to bear in this interview in terms of how she was able to communicate to get as much as she did out of Harry and Meghan. Because I've seen a lot of criticism about Oprah and saying, oh, she didn't press them like, you know, investigative journalists would have done. And I think that actually misses the point about how effectively she communicated. So I am going to dissect Oprah's communication style in this video. Now, one of the things that you'll hear me say a lot when it comes to listening skills and communication generally, is that there are three levels to communication. And if you attended one of my workshops on the five kind of communication super skills, you'll have heard me talk about this in kind of greater degree. But when it comes to listening, there are also three levels to listening. So most people just do listening to respond, right? Listening to respond. That's where what you're doing is just listening so that you can say what you want to say without really paying that much attention to what the other person is saying. And that is kind of level one of listening. It's also the level that unfortunately is very, very common amongst all of us, right? We're not really paying attention to what's being said. We're just listening so that we can come back with what we want to say in response. LinkedIn user, yes, good to see you too. Put your name in so I know who you are, because for some reason, some people, I think maybe depending on your setting, it doesn't show up. Then there's level two of listening, which is listening to understand. So that's actually where you're not just focused on what you want to say, but you're focused on what the other person is saying and you're trying to understand it. But level three is listening to empathize and connect. And that is where Oprah just is an absolute legend when it comes to listening skills. She really has built her career on being able to listen, being able to connect, and being able to empathize with the people who are doing the speaking, the people she's interviewing and talking to. So let's establish some of the things that she brings to bear in terms of how she communicates, particularly with her listening. And the first thing to know about Oprah is she brings a huge amount of credibility. She brought a huge amount of credibility to that interview, which just meant that already before the conversation had even started, she's already built up a level of trust. She's already built up a level of authority. She's built up that credibility so that the people that she's interviewing can trust her and are going to be willing to open up more. Now, that is something that's hugely important to think about in terms of your own communication skills, is before you get into any conversation where you're trying to have any kind of interaction, how much credibility do you have for that moment? How much authority? How much can you point to your backstory or how you have conducted yourself in the past in order to say to people, yep, you can trust me, you can open up and express yourself because I am the kind of person who is going to listen in a good way. So that is hugely important to say. That's Javed. Oh, hi, Javed. Hey, good to see you. Thanks. That's hugely important to do. So make sure you build up your credibility. So that means before those conversations, you are doing all the things to put your credibility in place so that when it comes to the moments where you really have to show your ability to listen or you have to get the trust of people, you can point to your backstory, your history, your reputation, your personal brand, and use that as an asset so that the door is already open because they already believe in you and they trust you. So credibility is the thing, in a way, the one thing that Oprah just brings, because you know, of course, that she has interviewed everybody before, right? She's interviewed people at the level that Harry and Meghan's, the importance of that story is. And she has shown through the way she's interviewed other people how able she is to let them speak and articulate their story. So that's the first thing, credibility. So that's really what we've all got to really work on, is our credibility to be able to listen in a way that people will open up and trust. Okay, so next thing that she does, and she's very good at this, does it all the time with all of her guests, is she establishes a connection. So one of the first things that she says when she meets Meghan is talk about, oh, how she looks lovely because she's pregnant, right? And they're going to reveal kind of whether it's a boy or a girl. But that's the first thing she asks, right? And then, of course, she listens to the answer and kind of, you know, wants to see what they're going to say. But there's a very good reason that she does that. Because again, if you've been on my workshops, you know that I always say connection is the highest form of communication. But establishing that connection on kind of a non-controversial issue, an issue that makes them feel kind of warm and disposed towards her, it's already helping them open up by saying, I'm here, I'm really connected to you. Yes, we're going to talk about something and I am going to pay attention, but really you and I are friends, right? You and I are connected. So you can open up and speak your mind because I am the kind of person who's on your side. And that's what she's doing here by not talking immediately launching into the issues, but just asking her a simple question about her baby. Every kind of parent is going to be proud about their child to be. Proud to kind of be able to say whether it's a boy or a girl. And she's just getting it on the right level. Really, really subtle skill, but hugely effective. And for those of us who aren't Oprah, that want to establish that kind of relationship or establish that kind of arena so that people will open up to us and show that we are good listeners. Really, really important. Really, really important. That you first of all establish a connection, something that says, I am on your side, so you can be more open than you would be if you were being defensive against somebody who would be interviewing. Somebody brash like Piers Morgan, for instance, who's also been in the news following this interview. So first thing, establish a connection. A few shouts outs. Olagalaka says, interesting early point, recredibility, will using personal vulnerability and storytelling as an opener to develop our Oprah style cred. Absolutely. And hello, Simone, to you as well. So Oprah and vulnerability, I mean, she's just, again, the queen of it. And that's part of her personal brand, part of the reputation that she has built up. So that's why it's so important to go into any conversation with your reputation doing a huge amount of the work for you. Okay, so let's go on. So the next thing is a moment in the interview when Megan Oprah was putting to Megan the different tabloid stories that were being written about her or had been written about her. And you could see that Megan was kind of a little bit hit by this. And she was like, and they said, oh, it may, you know, maybe her actions are down to pride or vanity. And Megan was like, what does it have to do with pride or vanity? So you can see that she was either confused or hurt or concerned about, okay, is this what people are saying about me? And how can they say that? And what Oprah does in response is to do something, which is a skill that is basically creating a safe space. Because you can imagine that once you start to get into the kind of the meat, the substance of the conversation, and if it's going to be a difficult conversation, if you create an environment that feels adversarial, that feels kind of judgmental or difficult, you're going to face somebody who clamps up or doesn't say anything worth saying or is just so defensive that it becomes a battle and you really don't get any information out of that person at all. But Oprah approaches this a completely different way. And what she says is, I'm just telling you what the stories say, okay? And what she's doing by that is saying, hey, listen, it's not you and me against each other. I'm simply the one bringing forward the problem or the issue. So let's put that kind of here in front of us and let you and I talk about it. So she's creating a safe space saying, this isn't somewhere where I'm the one actually saying these things. I'm just putting it there on the table and I'm giving you a chance to respond. And what she does is kind of de-escalate in a way and retain that connection by assuring Megan that it's fine. Feel free to speak. I'm still with you. I'm still on your side so you can open up, right? So just by separating the issue from the people, it allows her to maintain that connection, which keeps Megan speaking. And this is why Oprah is so good at this. This is why people come on her show. And this is why people say so much more on her shows compared to the interviews where it's kind of that aggressive journalist, you know, battering the person and all that happens is the person kind of clams up and gets defensive and doesn't reveal that much information. So again, another really subtle, simple skill that Oprah does all the time of creating a safe space for the person or the people that she's speaking with. And actually, you will see how true that was at the very end of the interview in the way that it wraps up. Okay, so that's Oprah creating a safe space. Let's go on to the next skill that she displays. And that is Socratic short questioning. Socratic short questioning. Now, Socratic just meaning that it was actually kind of, I guess, popularized or it's attributed to Socrates, a Greek philosopher or Greek figure. who, in terms of his questioning of his students, would always use short sentences that were just to the point, so that people didn't get lost in ambiguity or lost in kind of a really long question that they start to answer something that's different to the question that was asked. Oprah, all the way through, if you watch the interview, Oprah hardly does any talking. She asks a lot of questions, but her questions are very short, very to the point, and then she allows them to respond. And this is a really good process. So there's a little part in the interview where Harry talks about the invisible contract that exists between the monarchy and the tabloids, right? It's kind of like symbiotic. You know, they'll give us good press and we'll open up to them, that kind of thing, right? So he talks about the invisible contract. Now, Oprah could have said what she thinks that means, or, you know, gone on about her belief that, yes, that's wrong, or maybe that's right, or, yes, the media is always there. She could have said a lot of things in responding when Harry said this. Instead, all she asked was, how so? How so? And that was it. And then Harry goes on to explain and give more detail. She could actually have done a slightly different way that would have been the same thing, which is just to repeat the last few words that Harry said, or the salient words, and just stop speaking, which gives them kind of the incentive to speak more. So she could have said invisible contract, and then Harry would have expounded even further. Yes, this is what I mean. It's the relationship between the tabloids and the press and the monarchy and so forth. Really simple, short, it's called Socratic questioning. And it's a very, very effective way of asking somebody to give you more and giving them the space to do it. And the value of short questions is that they leave no room for ambiguity about what the issue is that is being asked. I don't know if you guys have had those conversations or interviews where the questioner is doing almost as much speaking as the listener or the person being interviewed, or they ask a kind of a long rambling question that even they lose the thread halfway through. And what happens is that when you get the answer, either it's not dealing with the question that you asked, or the answer becomes rambling because the question was rambling, and therefore you get no useful information at all. Again, masterclass by Oprah in doing this. Just simple, how so? And then Harry goes on to speak more and explain in more detail, and she just stays quiet and just listens. Brilliant skill, really, really tricky, actually. This is a good one for managers and leaders when you are interacting with your teams and you're trying to get to the bottom of an issue. Short Socratic questioning. What happened there? Why didn't we achieve that? What do we do better next time? Will prompt and give your team the space and the inclination to explain. And it's actually quite tough on them as well. So that's why it's also a good managerial technique, because it's a fair question, but it is tough because it just demands answering. Okay, so cool. So that's another example of Oprah's brilliant, brilliant approach to listening. Let's go on. The next is how she listens without prejudice. Now, one of my favorite albums is George Michael's Listen Without Prejudice album. So I just lifted that title for this, but it really captures the kind of, I guess, the essence of Oprah, which is her ability to empathize. And if you remember, that really is the highest level of listening. And what it is that she allows people to answer, and then she shows no judgment about their answer, whatever she thinks personally, right? So clearly they were friends, so, you know, you would think that she accepts. But Oprah may or may not have believed everything that Meghan and Harry said. Or Oprah may or may not have accepted their version of events, or may not have thought that there is more to it, or there is another side. But in the moment in asking the questions, you would never have thought anything other than she's a good friend and this person is opening up to her. And it just happens to be on camera in front of millions of people. A brilliant, brilliant technique. And she does that because the thing that Oprah has built her entire career on and brand is that non-judgmental, empathetic understanding of other people. So when Megan talks about the fact that she was having suicidal thoughts and suicidal kind of inclinations during the pregnancy and during that those kind of early palace days, Oprah doesn't press her initially. Her first reaction is, when Megan says this, is, I'm so sorry to hear that, right? It's not even a question, but it's a signal to the other person that I care about you. I empathize. Even though I haven't been through it myself, I'm showing you by how I responded to what you said. I could have chosen any different way to respond, but the one thing that was on my mind to respond to when you said this really incredibly kind of personal and serious issue, right, is to empathize with you and say, and just express my concern and my sympathy for you. That is brilliant communicating, because again, it maintains the connection between Meghan, Harry and Oprah, which means they will continue to open up. You can tell that Meghan would not have said this or opened up giving this information to many other people, right? And that is why I think the criticism that I've heard of Oprah, that she didn't push them hard enough and it was just like two mates chatting, is so misplaced. It just fundamentally misunderstands the skill of listening communication that Oprah is just a master at. So there we are. Listen without prejudice. Listen without prejudice. Don't be judgmental. Whatever is going on inside, accept or don't accept, believe or don't believe, right? You can make your judgments later or press things later on, but empathize, and that will show them that, yes, you are on their side. Ulu says, Socratic questioning is a ninja skill. Yes, it is, sir. It really is. Very tough to do, because the temptation is to say much more, but the shorter you keep your questions, the more poignant they become, and that actually has such a great impact. And says, I'm sorry to hear that, Morgan, I don't believe it. Yeah, so I said I wasn't going to get into the drama between Piers Morgan and Oprah because, hey, this is not kind of that. This ain't that show. But it is actually a stark contrast between the two of them. So both of them been hugely successful in their own right. But in terms of how effective listeners they are, communicators they are, what I think you should notice actually is, in fact, if you watch Piers Morgan's show where he interviews other people, he is completely different to how he is on the kind of the combative Piers Morgan on his morning show. On his own show where he's interviewing different, you know, celebs and things like that, he displays a lot of the skills, not quite as well, but a lot of the skills that actually I'm going through and that Oprah displays all the time. So it really does show you that there is a stark difference, that if you want to get people to trust you through your listening, you really have to empathize and show that you care about them. Okay, let's go on, because there is more. Labeling and reframing. So once you start to get into the meat of the conversation and people start to say things, it's really important to make sure that what you think you are hearing is what they think they are saying. And Oprah does this all the time through the interview. And the kind of the classic example is where Meghan had talked about being made to be silent, and Oprah had asked her, well, were you silent or were you silenced? Now, what she's doing there is labeling the emotion or labeling the issue that Meghan has said, maybe not quite in a clear way, and then reframing it so that it gives Meghan the opportunity to basically saying to Meghan, this is what I heard. Am I right? And that says to the person either, oh no, you're wrong, so let me clarify, but they appreciate the fact that you were listening. Or it says to them, you were absolutely right, which cements your reputation in that moment as a great listener and will encourage them to speak more. So listening skill in terms of that, always check in with the other people or the other person you're speaking with and label the emotion or the issue or the idea, whatever it is that they have expressed, and just say it back to them or reframe it if you want to get clarification. And it just resets the conversation, reestablishes that connection, signals to them that you really are listening to what they said, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to repeat it back to them. And it encourages that trust that they will have with you and as a listener. Great, great skill. Label and reframe. Okay, let's go on because we're coming up to 22. Gotta go. Next, of course, is react, right? You mustn't just be a passive kind of automaton receiver of information showing no emotion whatsoever, because that will just disconnect you from the person. You should react to the things that they say. And the classic example, of course, is when Megan talked about how there had been questions about the skin color of her child-to-be. And you could see, and in that moment, I think Oprah expressed what basically was on everybody else's mind who was watching. And it was just one question. What? Right? And she kind of did it. And there was animation in her features as well. You must react in the conversations that you are having. It shows that you are paying attention. It shows that the things they are saying are actually having an impact. It can be a pleasant reaction, hostile reaction, if that's what you want to do, kind of a confused, whatever it is. But reaction and interaction displays to the other person that you are giving them your 100% attention. And therefore, they can continue to speak because they are being listened to. And it's interesting, actually, if you even think about the arena where they had the interview, was kind of in an outdoor space where there was nothing else around them. And I think that was very deliberate. It's kind of saying it's a safe, open space. You can be open. There's no one else, nothing else around us. So you can kind of be honest and divulge a few secrets, which they obviously went on to do. So make sure you react, right? Don't just sit there passive face with nothing, because that will start to signal to them, oh, are they really listening? Are they getting what I'm saying or not? And Oprah does this throughout. Okay, and press, right? So listening doesn't mean passive listening. It means active listening, right? So it doesn't mean accept everything they say. And this is why, again, I think the criticism that she didn't push them enough is just totally misplaced, because she pushed them enough to get the information that she needed to get out of it. Whereas if she had kind of been aggressive in her questionings, they would just become defensive and clam up. But she did throughout the interview ask questions to clarify. You know, who was having this conversation with you? She asked of Harry when that conversation about his skin color, son's skin color was asked. Or why did he stop taking your calls? So Harry kind of dropped that bomb. If you saw it, he dropped that bomb in kind of just by the by. Oh yeah, Prince Charles, my father stopped taking my calls. And then he went on to something else. And Oprah kind of allowed that. But then she circled back. Why did he stop taking your calls? And then they discussed that issue, which showed that she was listening, but also showed she was willing to press to get clarification on various issues. And then, final one is Oprah does this all the time, kind of at the end of conversations, is she'll always reconnect. So she'll always bring it back to something pleasant, something safe, something generally uplifting, or something kind of warm to leave people feeling, yes, that was a good conversation. Even if there were times that it was tricky, or I was getting into hot water, I always felt that Oprah was listening, was on my side. And then she always reconnects at the end of her interview. So in fact, at the end of the interview, what she says is, thank you both for trusting me. And if you remember what I said at the start, that's really what Oprah does. She has that credibility and has built up that level of trust. And Megan and Harry's response is, thank you for giving us the space to do it. And if you remember, one of the skills that I said that Oprah displays is she creates a safe space so that people can feel free to express themselves fully. And that just signifies how much she did that, because that's the last thing that they say to her. Thank you for giving us the space to do it. And that is why Oprah is an absolute legend when it comes to communicating through listening. She knows how to get people to speak, how to get people to open up, how to get people to be honest from their point of view, so that she comes out with far, far more tangible, valuable information on the topic, then all of these others, highly aggressive, highly kind of investigative journalists that look great to their peers and to their friends, but actually come out with interviews that tell you next to nothing. That is why Oprah is a legend. Guys, I just about made it in the 1 hour, the 30 minute slot. I hope you guys found that useful. Listening is something that is really tough to do. I know that I have struggled with it a lot. And so a lot of the work that I've done actually has just been for me personally to kind of build my own ability to listen, build my reputation as a listener, so that, for instance, in my work as a coach or as a barrister, I can help people in what they need. So hope you guys found that useful. As ever, you know that this is just snippets, right? There's so much more to communication skills. I'd love to help you guys if you need it. So just go and click on the button, the link you'll see with this post, or type in greatspeech.co/get-started, and you'll put yourself in for a free consultation with me. I've got my Communication Super Skills program that is really just running now. So if you want to join it, you need to get in quick. But guys, I hope that was a useful, useful breakdown of the great listening skills of Oprah. There's another comment here saying, criticism of Oprah is also that her empathetic questioning is really being manipulative. How do you employ those techniques without leaving people feeling that they might have been played? Very good question. I'm not sure how much there was a concern that Oprah was being manipulative. The criticism I tended to see was she went too easy on them, which I just think is just totally misplaced. But in terms of how do you get people to open up with your empathetic questioning in a way that makes them feel not I'm being had and then it's going to be used against me, but this is actually somebody who's genuine, it's the very first thing I talked about. It's credibility, right? So Oprah has the credibility from everything she has done before. So even from today, from this moment, you can start to change the way you interact with people and listen to people so that you start to build your reputation as a great listener who listens without prejudice, right? And who doesn't use the information for nefarious, objectives, but actually uses it to improve the conversation, to improve the connection and the relationship between the person that you're listening with. And if you build up that reputation gradually, kind of step by step with every conversation to every conversation, then you will go into newer conversations with that reputation behind you. And that's going to help you with kind of getting people to be willing to trust you, because they can look at what you've done in the past and say, yeah, I can trust you because I can see what you've done in the past. So thank you for that question, Ulu. I hope that really helps. So guys, it is exactly 1:30. I'm getting great at nailing this stuff. So I hope you found this useful, whether you're watching now or on the replay. I know loads of people watch this on the replay. Whether you're watching now on the replay, hope you found this useful. I will be back again with another lunchtime one next week. Not entirely sure what the topic is yet, but it will be something that will provide value, I am sure. Les says, thanks, Colin, very interesting. Listening is key, yes, like the bit about short questioning. Definitely, really tough to do, actually, because the temptation is to just speak and speak. But the shorter your questions, the more powerful they will be. Seems very important, as well as going back to what was said previously, which shows you are listening. Yeah, labeling is really good. Just do that every once in a while. Easiest way to do is just to take the last thing they said and repeat that back to them, right? And that just says to them, I'm listening, but it also encourages them to open up about it. Sophia, hey, Sophia, caught the tail end, catch it on the replay. Yep. I think pretty much as soon as this is finished, if you're on LinkedIn, you'll see the replay, but I will repost it as well so that people have got it. Okay, so just past the 1.5 hour mark. I want you guys to get back to your lunches. Hope this proved useful, and I'll see you guys again next week. Cheers.